You are listening to episode number 100 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast.
Holy shit!
What are we doing?
Oh shit, the Reapers are here. Fuck. Yes, you heard that number correctly. You are listening to episode number 100 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. As always, for the 100th time, I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me, first and foremost, our commanding officer, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Where am I? This is not my bedroom.
Oh, God. Someone lost his meds again.
Kit, can you take me home, sir, please? I need
Go
help.
Sit down in the chair, Grandpa. We'll get you back to the home later.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Joining us also, who's stalking the streets of New York City, Arnold. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Yo.
And he's looking for Spy Smasher.
Hey, don't forget the roommates behind the gym.
joining us next, the man who's watching his Boston Red Sox flail around like little girls, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Pimp smack bloody Yankees.
Oh, God. I don't even want to talk about it. Oh, God.
Who's the manager?
It's no good.
Bobby Valentine just smirking away.
Oh, God.
Bent over and taken from behind.
Oh.
You're back to pre-2004, buddy. Have a happy hour.
I've never been so ashamed of my Red Sox
and
up until
of course,
this point.
Our fan panelists for tonight, fan guest pardon for tonight, Jonathan, welcome once again to the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel podcast.
Boo!
Boo! Number one fan! Number one fan right here, bitches!
You're going to hurt Spider-Lander's feelings like that.
Oh, is he on the show?
Who?
Thank you.
Is Spider-Man on the show?
What?
I don't think so.
No, I don't.
Well, then, when he's on the show, he can claim his number one spot. For now, I give it to John.
Yeah.
Yay. Thunder up.
Well, thank you, John, for joining us. And, of course, our live studio audience, Arnold's roommates.
Yeah.
As always. Same as
yeah, I love those guys. They're like real people. They're back with us.
I ask you what all you stand for. Why is Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon have to suck so hard?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to us before, you're probably going, what the fuck is going on? But we are the Mighty
That's
Warriors.
It. We've talked ourselves. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, we might as well log out now. We can't beat this.
Nothing will be as good as what just happened. We're done.
I'll meet you at the IHOP. Okay.
We are the Mighty Warriors.
Yeah.
Good idea. I want pancakes. Hell fucking yeah. With some sausages. How, man, and orange juice. Oh, shit.
Oh, God. To the IHOP.
Yes.
There's one like 20 minutes from us, so.
Less than 5
That's
minutes.
That's what I'm saying. Yo, we need to hop to the IHOP.
You two should rock us from IHOP one night. Just do that. That'll be a new episode twist. We'll throw on.
Exactly, and we could do promotion for pancakes.
Broadcasting live from the IHOP.
I would love that. But anyways, in case you're not aware, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether that's comics, video games, movies, television, cartoons,
porn,
toys, and coming later tonight, porn.
Yeah, literally,
porn.
Taser has something special planned for y'all, ladies.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
Tag team action. All right.
Oh!
20-year-old, 40-year-old men watching porno together. Awesome.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, as long as it's aging porn, baby, it's okay.
Well,
no, midgets with giraffes. Get it right. Midgets with giraffes, damn it.
Okay, if I want to do that, I'll watch Game of Thrones. Come on. But
same thing.
Let's jump right into it. Brian, what's the first news update for us tonight?
First news comes from the realm of Iron Man 3, worth of casting news. Jessica Chastain, who has played in such movies as The Help or The Debt, is back into talks to play a role in Iron Man 3, a quote-unquote sexy scientist every bit as smart as Tony Stark. And also, Andy Lau, a Canto pop singer, actor, and film producer, has been cast in the movie, though he represents China's technology sector, and will reportedly play a supposed old friend of Tony Stark in the movie.
All right, so there you go. More updates from Iron Man 3. I promise I'm not going to go through a political correctness rant like I did a couple
weeks
ago.
What has Andy Lau done before?
But it was so much fun.
Okay,
Andy Lau done?
Hey, Taser, Andy Lau has done a buttload of Hong Kong films. He's done several with, like, Jackie Chan, Chow Yun-Fat. I don't know if he's done any actual American movies.
But he sucks.
Well, take a look.
Taser, save it for when we get to you, okay?
Yeah.
Go sit down.
Well, as the biggest person who has, I don't know why I say I have a biggest stake in this movie, because I want it to be good and not the whole trilogy to suck anyways. But this leads me to suspect, I don't think he's going to play the Mandarin, but the fact is they're fucking playing up China's importance. China means fucking Mandarin. Make it fucking happen.
I agree.
I don't know. And for the what was the actress's name who's going to be playing the sexy scientist?
Jessica Chastain.
She's either going to play one or two characters. She's either going to play Maya Hansen, who, if you read Warren, because this movie is going to be based around Warren Ellis's Extremis arc, where Tony Stark got superpowers in the way.
Oh, great.
Hey, that was a good story arc. So shut it.
Well, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just like,
But and Maya Hansen was the scientist who had, in Austin, Texas, by the way, had developed the Extremis biological technology. Biotech weapon that allowed Iron Man to command the armor at will. So she's either going to play that, or my other suspicion is that she's going to play
She's going to play fuck?
Yeah.
Well, no, Tony Stark, it's inevitable.
I think she's going to play Madame Mask before she gets the mask. Madame Mask. That's just me guessing, because why not? Why not have a villain character and put that?
That could bring on Count Nefaria.
No, not necessarily. You don't have to have him.
How do you count Nefaria?
Justine Hammer.
Because Count Nefaria is her father.
Ooh, Justine Hammer.
No,
I thought Justine was like getting hammered.
Madame Mask. I don't know why. It's either going to be Maya Hansen or her to me. But and for the Lau guy, he's cool. I don't know much about him, but if he's worked with Jackie Chan and Chow Yun-Fat, who are well-known actors in America, why not?
How do we know he's just not good at making General So chicken? I mean, come on. Big deal.
I've watched a lot of his films over the years, and chicken's not one of his specialties,
so
I can tell you that.
What is he famous Hong Kong movies? Is he just another... Can he actually act? Or
he's an actor, he writes songs, he directs films.
He can actually act. Like I said, I wrote on here, watch a movie called Shaolin. It just came out not too long ago on Blu-ray.
Oh, that and holy crap!
Yeah,
I did not put the name together. Okay,
he played the main character.
Yeah. That actually was a good movie. He could play Mandarin. I'll say this right now. He could act. He could do. He could fight as Mandarin. That would be awesome.
Check this out,
Marvel. You need to make this happen. Let this man play Mandarin and fight Iron Man.
But they have Gandhi now.
Oh, don't go.
All right. Arnold, what do you think of these casting updates?
Sounds interesting. This Andy Lau guy sounds pretty cool. I honestly don't know him at all. And the other actress that they picked, too, I honestly don't know her either, so I haven't seen either of the movies that she's been in. But it's interesting to hear some of the casting rumors, and there's really not much more to say other than that, for me anyway.
All right. Taser, you've already said anything more you want to say? Besides,
I apologize for not recognizing the name, because I don't pay a whole lot of attention to names when it comes to movies. I just go, oh, look, this guy's getting his ass kicked in the movie. Let's watch it. Andy Lau could definitely play Mandarin, and I don't mean that just because, he's Chinese. But he has the capacity to physically do it. He's got the ability to render the character. I support this. I 100% give this Taser seal of approval. I eagerly await this to come out.
Who knows? Maybe in this one, the Mandarin has. I don't know. Brian, do you have anything to say?
Neither do I, because you didn't finish.
I've actually seen Shaolin as well. It was a very well done movie. I enjoyed it immensely, and Lau has my full support in whatever capacity they decide to cast him in, what movie he will, what role he will play. And just because I feel like we should just put this in perspective for some of the sticklers out there, he's received 11 Best Actor nominations, 11 Best Original Film Song nominations, and 4 Best Film nominations, of which he's won at least 8 awards, I believe, 8 or 9.
Yeah. The man's an institution, well, like Chow Yun-Fat and Jackie Chan is.
He's like the Asian Tony Stark. He does everything.
And then he's laid about as much pipe, too.
Oh!
All right, so it seems like theoretically, what we know is that he's just going to be playing a friend of Tony Stark who works in China in the technology department. So he doesn't necessarily, might not play the Mandarin, but it could be the front that the Mandarin's using, because obviously the modern incarnation of the Mandarin has been behind using front companies to devise his evil plans, not communism anymore. But so overall, so far so good. Jonathan, you have anything last remarks, considering you're the man who discovered this guy?
Well, the Jessica Chastain, I'm not familiar with her as well. But yeah, Andy Lau, when I heard that he was cast, I was like, hell yeah. Especially like I heard this right after your rant on Ben Kingsley, and which I was like, great, Gandhi is the Mandarin. That just don't fit. but yeah, my hopes are up now with him being cast. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. Of course, I'm looking forward to seeing it no matter what, but this keeps it from being like Spider-Man 3, level.
Oh, no. So, let's be wary. I'm just saying, let's be wary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But my hopes are a little bit more up now. So.
All right. Brian, what's the next set of news that we got?
Up next, we got a slew of reboot news coming out of 20th Century Fox, where there is news that Josh Trank, who directed the film Chronicle earlier this year, will be helming a Fantastic Four reboot for the company, and that David James Kelly will be rewriting the script for David Slade to direct. For those of you who don't know, David Slade has directed movies. He has done The 30 Days of Night. He also directed some TV episodes of Breaking Bad and the new TV show Awake on NBC. And they're also
comedian?
David Slade?
Yeah,
that's David
Spade. No, he's a film director.
Oh yeah, I keep getting him confused.
Yeah, so that's what's going on over at 20th Century Fox as of right now.
All right, so it looks like they want to get their. It looks. I mean, with the Daredevil thing, it seems like that's still in development of hell. Doesn't look like we're gonna get a Daredevil reboot anytime soon. It's been almost 8, 9 years since that original mm-hmm. movie came out. I fell asleep in the theater when that movie came out. So bored I was.
Yeah, but who wants a Daredevil rerun? I mean, let's be honest. You watch superhero movies because you've got guys with strange and wondrous abilities that can do stuff, okay? Daredevil is about as baseline a person can be and still technically be called a hero because he fights crime. But aside from being blind and agile, big effing deal. I mean, does he have, like, ear blasts or something? No. Does he fart like nukes? No. He's
he has a power that every standard Navy vessel has. That's what he's got.
The ability to get a parking spot no matter what? Because he has a sticker? Come on. F that.
A radar sense.
See, the thing I like about Daredevil, and maybe it's not necessarily the best thing in the movie, it's just his own personal life. I mean, that's just me, though, and how Brian can attest to this.
How retarded you are? His personal life.
And his.
Is that why you read the comic?
And the fact
come
that
he, on,
and the,
man.
And the fact that he fights cool, but like it's a combination of both. Ugh. I know you're gonna roll your eyes at that. I mean, sure, Daredevil is. I mean, he's basically a Marvel Batman, but less, but not crazy like Moon Knight, but
or exciting like Batman.
He's a lawyer. It's the lawyer aspect. It's his Catholic act. He's a lawyer. He's a Catholic. He's a vigilante.
He was a ninja, he was a demon lord, he was a lunatic, he's a psycho, and he's also forgetful according to his most current run. Okay?
Are you kidding me?
Big effing deal.
Current series.
hit the first book of this current series, he went, yeah, I went through some things, but you know what? I'm trying to have a happy time now, so let's forget everything. Fuck him, okay? Look, what I want to do, if I want to see a superhero, I want to see shit. I want to see something that makes you go, oh my God! Daredevil, and don't get me wrong, I saw some nice things in, I was about to say Ben Kingsley, in Ben Affleck's Daredevil. A lot of boring things, but a few things that were well done. But there was nothing that was like, holy gee whiz, fuck, I gotta see this again, or I can't wait for a sequel. There was nothing exciting there, you know? So, and let's be honest, with Daredevil, that holds true for the book. That's why I stopped reading it after Inferno.
That's for you, but a lot of people love Daredevil.
Yeah, a lot of people love Daredevil because, you know, they feel romantic. It's like Doctor Strange. They're romantic towards the character because they're a Marvel character and they're mainstays and you know of them. But be real, the character is stale.
Not to me.
Doctor Strange is stale, and you're new to Marvel Comics as it is, so I'm holding you to that.
You've been realizing that. No, never mind, forget. I'm not going to.
Yeah, you've been reading comics for what?
Well, it looks like Tate's gotten his 2 cents in, so.
I'm just saying, Daredevil, if you're going to do Daredevil, you need to put somebody else in with him. You know, you need to have something else. I'm not saying, let's do Elektra again, because fuck that noise. But there has to be something that's like, that really lets you know it's a comic character. You know, a superhero character. There's nothing there. You know, there has to be something that makes you, you know, your eyes pop up. And like with Thor, it's the problem some as that movie sometimes was, you still, there were parts where you sat on the edge of your seat and you went, I can't believe that was fucking tight. There was nothing like that for Daredevil because the character isn't like that.
Or that the movie was just bad.
No, the character, his comic is like that. You know?
Actually, his comic's pretty damn good. I stand by it to this moment.
Yeah, and you read Battle Scars and you do your sister's homework. Who cares? Anyway, I'm just saying.
Jesus.
They need to throw something else. You can't just have Daredevil fight crime or Daredevil fights Kingpin. Ooh, because that's a nail biter. If they're going to do a Daredevil movie, they've got to throw something in there like the Hand. And I'm talking comic book Hand with the freaking demon magic and the ninjas that go poof if you hit them too hard. Something really eye-catchy and exciting. You know, something ballsy. Not just, I'm trying to stop this evil criminal mastermind. That's fucking boring. You know? Even Batman's better than that.
Are you done?
No. Fuck Daredevil. Now I'm done.
He can fight the Hand, I'm just saying. Arnold, what about you?
If you want to reboot Daredevil, fine, reboot Daredevil. The first one is honestly forgettable for me. It's got quotable moments that are fun and enjoyable to whip out every now and then. That's about it. This is the one, right, you said it's being redone by one of the guys who did Chronicle?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I actually only just saw...
Well, actually, no, the director of Chronicle is doing the Fantastic Four reboot. Daredevil's going to be tackled by David Slade, who did 30 Days of Night and Twilight Eclipse.
Okay, that's like one good and one bad, so that's
different. Yeah, because I was going to say, I like 30 Days of Night. I have no intent of going anywhere near Eclipse. But that's kind of a win in one direction and kind of brought down a lot by the Twilight side of things. But yeah, reboot it, fine. If it looks cool enough and interesting, I'll give it a go. But I'm really, again, not one of those people that's clamoring like, holy shit, they're going to reboot Daredevil. Awesome, I'm finally going to get the Daredevil movie I want. Because I'm not really hurting for a Daredevil movie. So do it what you will. We'll see what actually happens, or if it actually happens.
All right. So, Brian, what about you?
Well, I guess I'll be happy to see how it pans, if it ever gets out of development hell, because as you so eloquently pointed out, Ben, it's been there for how many years now? Like almost a decade? And so, you know, I'll believe it when it actually starts forming up to be something. But Fantastic Four sounds interesting, too. You know, there was that movie, too, that I put out there, and
yeah,
no one seemed to care about.
Okay, that's the thing.
Chronicle was good. I liked Chronicle.
It
was a good movie.
Average.
It was a good movie. Now, as far as that
Chronicle,
goes...
Chronicle, are you high?
What did I say?
What movie are we talking about again?
Chronicle.
Chronicle.
Yeah, you think... I don't know.
It was a good movie. Okay, look. You know what? Fine, whatever. Yay. Reboot. Move on. This is what this show does. 100 episodes of this. It crushes your soul and makes you beaten down and just depressed.
Isn't it lovely?
Fuck you.
Jonathan, what about you?
I'm actually kind of looking forward to hopefully seeing a reboot of Daredevil because, admittedly, I liked the first movie, but it had its problems. And that's a long list. But it, you know, I do like Daredevil, but I don't regularly read the book. And I think that's why I still do like him, so that way I'm not as jaded as Taser on the character. But
I don't think anyone's as jaded as Taser.
But, you know, the only main problem I really had with that movie was the casting of Kingpin. And I'm like, it would be like putting a white guy to play Black Panther. I mean, loved Michael Clark. I love Michael Clark Duncan. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, really? You're going to have the Kingpin in there? He's got to be a big white guy.
Michael Clark Duncan was the only good thing in that movie.
No, I didn't mind him as the Kingpin. Yeah. He made a decent Kingpin.
He was boring. I would have gotten Butterbean.
But is that him or the script that he was given with?
Yeah, I think it was the script.
Doesn't matter. Well, you can't act for shit. If Kingpin's got to be a menacing, manipulative crime boss.
I would have been like, oh, shit.
I wanted Butterbean because I wanted to see him actually fight.
Yeah, a big bald white guy that can move around and
fight. He can't pull off a suit.
Yeah!
He can't pull off a suit.
He doesn't even act. How do we know this guy we're putting in a lead antagonist role can act worth a shit?
Because he doesn't have to. He rules by...
Yes, he does. Kingpin is a crime boss. He's manipulative. He thinks about... He plans out everything meticulously. And when it comes down to it, he's able to take a villain or a hero down to its basic levels and just mock him outright. Butterbean is just...
He's a boxer.
So you're saying this... Put Butterbean... In the same movie that Michael Clark Duncan was in, and you're saying it would be bad. The same exact lines you're saying he couldn't do.
I'm not saying, I am not done yet.
Okay.
I am not saying that he cannot
with
do them.
His homework,
but
right?
There is a distinct line between doing them and doing them well. And we have seen how athletes have transferred over to film acting many times before, and it is almost never.
And Rocky V does not count. Okay.
I am talking all around, okay? It has almost never worked out well.
You mean
ever.
Like The Rock and Hulk Hogan in Suburban Commando?
Any athlete who has ever tried to make a transition has never worked out well.
Really? So you think the Scorpion King didn't work out well?
All right, enough. Jeez, okay. We're iffy on the reboots. Chronicle was an okay movie. The Fantastic Four should just go away because nobody really cares about them.
No, I disagree. All I want from the Fantastic Four is the crash. They need to show the flight and the crash. What they did in that first movie was complete and utter bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. They went, oh, look, we're in the space station. Oh, look, we got blasted. Next thing you know, I wake up, I'm on Earth. What the fuck? What the fuck? Give me my holy gee whiz.
So
I don't know
if
I can keep
it
together.
It is not going to be a Michael Bay movie, Taser.
It doesn't have
that level.
It's got to have that element of danger before they get their powers. What? They're floating in space and, oh no, there's an energy wave coming away.
So if they had the crash in the first movie, does that make it a better movie?
Yes, it does because it gives it some excitement. There was no excitement in that scene. I sat there with a friend.
There was
and
no excitement in that movie, period.
Because there was no crash. Except for the good, funny part when Ben woke up and, oh, look, my penis. All right. Beyond that.
My stones are literally stones. Oh, my God.
Oh, look.
Same movie. They just put the crash in there. Same scenes follow afterwards.
No. There's way more that had to be fixed.
Okay,
but
then that's say
that.
The you're just
that
saying if they
fix.
Just added the crash, boom, it's a better movie.
No. Oh, all right. I misspoke.
There you go.
But that's one of the things that needed to be put in.
I agree with you.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, both movies had problems, and there was some pretty good stuff. I mean, Chokas has been was cool. And
not showing Galactus is even more bullshit.
Don't even get me started on that giant cloud vacuum hose. Yeah. But I liked Silver Surfer, too. That was about the only other good thing about it. So.
Wait a minute. Did you like Silver Surfer in the movie? What did you think of Morpheus a la Silver Surfer a la Morpheus?
Awesome.
That actually was pretty cool. When I heard that he was going to be the voice, I was like, I can actually see Surfer sounding like that. And it's just too bad the rest of the movie was bollocks. I mean, geez.
But, all right, well, yeah. let's move on because the shit fest is going to continue.
Woohoo, shit fest!
I'm sorry I made this the book of the week. There. Our book of the week this week was the final issue of Moon Knight number two. I'm sorry. The bitching continues. biggest cop-out of the year. Yeah. We've been this whole year, you know, I made it the book of the week when it first came out. And I think I've made it at least once or twice a couple of times. And I've relatively enjoyed this iteration of Moon Knight. I've read it all the way through. But this last issue was just fucking bullshit. I'm sorry. The sheer utter copness. I was expecting Moon Knight to die because he's going up against Count Nefaria and go out as a hero, yada, yada, yada. And then some people say, of course, that's what he would do. But spoiler, to take down Nefaria, he calls in the Avengers. And they take down Nefaria. Not Moon Knight. The guest stars in this book take down the main villain for this book that's been in building up for a year. Yeah, and then what happens next is even more atrocious. It's just as much as I'm looking forward to this storyline, it's just more reason for Bendis to push the Ultron storyline. I'm like, this felt so not needed. I didn't need to read this part. That whole sequence with Mark Spector and Tony Stark talking back to each other was just felt so forced and so shoehorned in that I'm like, did you have to plug in that you're going to do an Ultron story? We already know this. Anybody who's reading this book knows you're going to do it. You didn't have to waste 3 to 4 to 5 pages just to reiterate Ultron's out there. Ultron's coming. We could use this to find him. Yada, yada, yada. The worst part of it is in that, Brian, you and I are both aware of his Unlucky with the Powers TV show. You can't tell me that last page was meta. Was Bendis being meta? Like, I'm done with Hollywood.
Yeah, that seemed a little out of place.
I'm just like I was expecting way much more. Moon Knight should have bit it, but the biggest cop out is calling the Avengers. I'm sorry, it was just like I understand he's an Avenger, but this is his book, his time to shine. And yeah, it was the last issue. Why not just kill him off? Because good lord, we know he's not going to play a big role in the Age of Ultron. He's just not. Don't lie to us. 2 out of 5. Fucking ended on a whimper.
That high?
Because the art was good, and I still like the art. That's why. Taser, let's go ahead and get you because you've been hinting at it all night.
0.0. There was absolutely nothing to like about this story. There's nothing to like about this run. There's nothing to like about the art. There was nothing to like about the fucking writing. This book was a waste of motherfucking time. I hated it, and I can't get that time back. I feel like I've been leeched. 0.0.
Good. Let the hate flow through me.
And I'm not saying that just to be tasered. I mean, really, that book was just awful. I mean, awful, 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 awful. 0.0. There you go.
Oh, it's over, and we're probably never going to get another Moon Knight series again.
I hope not.
You can't. If the biggest Marvel writer couldn't push this book, nobody can. Arnold, what about you? What did you think of this book?
I'm agreeing with Taser completely, and this book was pointless. Again, I read the beginning, and is it, again, because I know nothing about Moon Knight other than the fact that he's batshit crazy and what his costume looks like. That's it. Now, they say this, that unbeknownst to all, Moon Knight has developed split personality. Who's this all that they're talking about? Because I thought it was pretty well known that Moon Knight was batshit crazy.
Everyone knows it. Spidey points it out continuously by saying Mooney rhymes with loony, so you
okay.
know.
So, yeah, I read that as, like, everybody is just finding out now, but okay. So he's running around with a imaginary Captain America, Wolverine, and Spider-Man as his Obi-Wan Kenobi's, apparently, is what I'm getting.
Split personalities, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, yeah, and he's had split personalities before. Like, wasn't it a time it was, like, a kid and an older person?
Brian's the
Well, no, it's just he had different personalities he would slip into for his, like, street-level work. Like, one was a cat and the other was a rich guy, but he would slip into those lives completely and play off of those characters, so... Okay.
Like, I can't even chalk this up to the fact that I know jack shit about the character that I didn't like it. It's just... Yeah. Doesn't grab me. I couldn't give two fucks about Moon Knight, to be completely honest. Well, I'm sorry to those that like him.
This series, I'm sorry to interrupt. This series is really the first instance of him having multiple voices talking in his head at the same time. So there's that.
Okay. Fair enough. Still, just, it's not for me. The best parts of it, in my opinion, was the mentions of Ultron and all of that. That's really about it. That's the only thing that kind of made me prick my ears up and be like, oh, hey, something interesting to grab onto. And then by then the book was done, and all it did was remind me, because I forgot that an Ultron storyline is on the horizon. I almost forgot about that. So that's the only positive for it. So that little re-revelation, and yeah, that'll give it a 0.5 out of 5.
All right, Jonathan, what about you?
Oh, dear God. I hate to say this, but the rage is going to have to continue. When I saw the book of the week pick, I was like, really? You hate me?
All right, fuck you, Jesus.
No. But I will give points for the art. Maliv is a good artist, and I love, and it does kind of fit the character. But really, it just, I don't know. This is the kind of stuff that I look at and go, okay, Bendis is a good writer, not by this issue, And, you know, and you've heard me rail on about what I thought of him on the Avengers lately. But the last time I read Moon Knight was over 20 years ago, and that one was passable, but it didn't. I think it lasted a little bit longer than this one did. But I'm glad to see the title go, and maybe if they can quit making him bad shit crazy and a little bit more streamlined, I would like to see him as a supporting character in the Avengers, but... I agree. The quit pounding us over the head with the whole Ultron storyline. We know it's going to happen. And just get it going on already. Quit hinting at it and just do it. And, you know, the only thing I really did, I will say that I liked about this is that there was a cameo by a pseudo Jean Grey character in the cop station, I think, in the first couple of pages. I'm back. And can nobody believe me? And I laughed and chuckled at that part, and that's about the only bright spot I can give this, because really, Moon Knight should have been a grease spot on the wall with facing Nefaria. I mean...
Quickly, too.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're going with a really low-powered version of Nefaria, I mean, the last time I saw him, he was taking on the Avengers by himself and holding his own. And here I was just like, okay, really? And then to find out that Echo got killed, and I'm sorry to spoil that for anybody, but that one of my favorite characters that I actually liked in the New Avengers getting killed in this title, my head just about exploded. And I can only give this, like, I'll say a 0.5 out of 5, and that's strictly for the art and that little in-joke with the Jean Grey X-Men thing. That's about all I can say about it.
You know what was bigger bullshit about the whole Echo thing? Is like, the Avengers show up, and this is the same guy who's written both Moon Knight and Avengers. And he's like, we take care of our own. And yet, in the other Avengers books, I distinctly remember saying, wait, she was on the team? What? Where did she go?
Yeah.
Remember in the book, she just fucking disappeared and never showed up again?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That line, bullshit. Take care of her
own. I missed the fuck. I was Echo. Was it Echo? No, he was Ronin. Sorry, confusing the character. Wasn't she Ronin?
Yeah, she was Ronin, then she became just Echo, because Hawkeye became Ronin.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what I gotta say? Oh, okay, finish first.
But that line bothered me, because like, we take her of our own. You didn't look for her after she went missing. Bullshit. Go ahead, Taysom.
You know what was the height of awfulness? Well, actually, not even the height of awfulness. But one of the key things that stuck out as just how horrible this book was, and Bendis really, you know, Bendis needs to get a beat down for this. Because I don't think he likes Nefaria. I seriously don't think so. Because if anybody, if you remember when Nefaria first showed up, the man was a team wrecker. Okay? Now, I know that something happened along the lines and he got depowered and apparently repowered again. But when he fought the new, the new Avengers, about a year or two ago, back at the end of, he got smoked by, like, Wolverine and Miss Marvel. Like, oh my God, what the hell, what happened here? But it's even worse than that. In this book, freaking Nefaria shows up because, hey, I made a deal with you and you didn't follow through on your end, so I have to kill you. Torch Guy 1, Torch Guy 2. Then the chick that he was holding, you know, I don't care what her name is, it doesn't matter. She gets a hold of a gun and manages to hit him, and he's like, oh no, you shot me in the neck with a gun. This is a guy who Paul Molnir, you know, this is a guy who took freaking 100-tonner fists and went, what was that? Here he gets shot in the neck with a standard police issue 9mm, and he's like, ah! Like, what the fuck? And to top it all off, when, Moon Knight manages to trick this dumbass to go outside to go get the head. Had to go get the head. Oh, you know, oh, look, it's a bunch of real Avengers, and Miss Marvel and Wolverine are once again in attendance. And so's Thor. So, what happens here? There's no big fight. Freaking Moon Knight's on the floor. The Nefaria goes, hey, I'm going to go whoop on some Avengers ass. And he gets clocked by Thor. One shot. And then, no, for the finisher, punched out by Moon Knight. The man's ionic powered. He should be at least as powerful as Wonder Man. He gets knocked out by normal human strength, normal dude, crazy ass fuck. 0.0. Fuck you, Bendis, you jackass.
And Brian, saving you for last, since Moon Knight is one of your favorite characters, I can't imagine you feeling too good right now.
Come on, Brian, break the chain. You know you want to. Break the chain.
Here it is.
You can still
it
be
is
a fan of the character, but not
I'm left feeling disappointed and with a lot of questions. The top of my list being, had this book not been canceled, would this have been the ending we were handed? I can't say. I don't know. What I do know is that the ending we got stunned all of the interesting story points of character growth I've seen over the course of this book. I have thoroughly enjoyed it throughout its run, but this single issue somehow just took all of that and threw it into a wrecking ball and smashed the little tiny pieces. Count Nefaria was severely underplayed in this book. I recall only recently where there was an issue. I think he appeared in the New Avengers Annual around the time that whatever happened.
Yeah, Taser just talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, that book. And the New Avengers pretty much out of his team had to stop him. And it just, as Taser pointed out, he was severely underplayed in this issue. It wasn't up to par with what I had seen over the course of this book. There's really not much else to say. It was just a very, very let down ending. And for a book that had entertained me and made me want to read it throughout all the rest of its run, to suddenly drop the ball here, and then it's almost like, forgive me for the comparison, but it's almost like the Mass Effect 3 situation, where it's a great storyline and it shoves a terrible ending in your face and says, buy this, because it's coming. And yeah, buy some free DLC kit. Fuck off. Overall, this severely disappointed me. I expected much better from a book that had kept me so enthralled all the way throughout, and it really did disappoint me. So 0.0 out of 5. Bendis and Maliv, I am ashamed of you. Do better work next time.
I can feel the pain in your voice. You know what, Taser? Don't kill me.
I feel betrayed more than anything else. I feel betrayed by these people.
Taser, don't kill me for saying this, but like for me and Brian, like, you know how you're saying you were enjoying Avengers Children Crusade up until the last issue? This is what that was like for us. We really liked this.
Okay.
Up until. Oh, are you kidding me? Trust me.
I want to go cry into some ice cream and watch.
I picked this book primarily because I thought it was going to be good. It's the last issue. And I figured there's no way they're going to drop the ball on this. Boy, what the hell was I wrong. And, you know, it's much more fun to rip on things anyways than to praise it.
Very much. But, you know, it's justified.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely justified.
Guarantee we're going to get mail, though, for, like, some Moon Knight fan who actually likes it. But anyways, let's move on to individual reviews. I'm going to bring in some kind of positiveness, because I can't talk as usual, with Daredevil number 11. Now, this is automatically the cover is my cover of the year already. I love it. If you haven't seen the cover, just go look at it. It's awesome. This is the final arc of the Omega Effect, which, after finally reading this issue, it wasn't about the Omega Drive. It was just about a reason to get these characters together and to raise awareness on the Punisher and Daredevil. Not necessarily Amazing Spider-Man, but Avenging Spider-Man, that is.
Save our series! Save our series!
I don't think they're in danger of cancellation. But... there was a nice, good moment. It was just fun. Chichetto was awesome, and I wish he could draw Spider-Man instead of Humberto Ramos. The best part of the book, though, was the exchange between Daredevil and Rachel Cole, or Cole Alves. I loved it. I'm not going to reiterate it frame for frame because it's really long, but, you know, it's basically Daredevil feels bad because he couldn't save Frank Castle from becoming the mass-murdering psychopath that he is, and basically tells her, you don't have to be that. You have choice and, you know, all this other stuff. And it was just nice. And then, of course, you add the added effect of all three of the characters together. And this was – I realized this was the most the Punisher has talked since he's been – his new series has launched, because he's kind of been like a specter. Spider-Man calling Daredevil Magoo was still funny.
The blind
guy. I don't know why he calls
Magoo.
Him Magoo, but it's funny.
Because Mr. Magoo, he was a blind cartoon character.
Oh, is that
back
what it is?
Like
I never got that, but yeah. That's funny.
Magoo, you've done it again.
Daredevil still has the Omega Drive, but Chichetto's art, the story by Wade and Rucka was just good and solid, and, you know, proves that a crossover can be done well. And I'm really wanting to see where, because it's obviously going to happen in The Punisher, where Greg Rucka takes the whole Rachel Alves storyline. I want to see where that goes. I'm curious. So 4 out of 5 for me in this book. Fun 3 issues. Fun crossover. Let's go back to the bitching with another travesty that Bendis did this week with New Avengers 25. Arnold. Unleashed, man.
New Avengers number 25.
You're so lucky you got to do this one.
Your hands. First and foremost, I get annoyed. I don't know if I want to say I hate or get really mad, but I do get annoyed when you get an issue of a series where, one, they prominently display a character on the cover, and that character is nowhere to be found in the issue, and two, has none of the main characters of the story, period. Except this was a whole, like, background story on the Iron Fist, I guess, and the Master UT, is it?
Yeah, UT.
Yeah. He keeps getting all of these visions of a red-haired, green-eyed girl, because, you know, Marvel loves their red-haired, green-eyed girls, supposedly using the Iron Fist force, which I'm not really sure how they describe the whole Iron Fist power.
It's the Iron Fist, quickly, real quick, the Iron Fist, whoever's chosen to become the Iron Fist, punches the heart of the Dragon of Kunlun to gain the power.
Okay, what is it? It's just called a... Fist, period?
Huh?
Okay, so it's not called like an Iron Fist Force or
anything
of that?
No, it's the power comes from the Dragon of Kunlun.
Okay, so the power of Kunlun, using that against the Phoenix Force. He keeps getting these visions, starts walking around, pondering on it, finds a red-haired, green-eyed girl amongst the town of where he lives, and decides to take her into training and train her to be the next Iron Fist, and he's like, students or servants, as it were, tells him, you know, we haven't had an Iron Fist in over 75 years, and he claims because there's never needed to be one. So they've apparently been training Iron Fist all down the line, and now this guy's ghost has visited someone in the current time, also in Kunlun, and is teaching another person all of this backstory because they hid the whole concept of the Phoenix Force away, and now is the time to do it because it is coming back. Where the fuck were you the last 4 times the Phoenix Force is
coming? True enough, Arnold.
That right there just, like, ripped me out of the story. I was like, really? Now we need to know? What made this time more special than all of the others? And if they've been training Iron Fist, again, shouldn't have Iron Fist already been trained how to deal with the Phoenix Force, thus being able to help? Again, the other 3 to 4 times the Phoenix Force decided to bring itself upon Earth and visit a red-haired, green-eyed girl. Like, I understand you want to tie stuff into the story and everything, but I feel like it was just unnecessary. Maybe I have to see where it's going, but in my opinion, it was just fucking stupid. And it annoyed me. The cover is gorgeous, and that's what it has going for it. Again, I wish it didn't have the AVX banner on it. I also kind of wish it didn't have the logo of New Avengers on it, because the post of the picture they put up a while back that just had the cover is gorgeous, because you can actually see the full Phoenix Force bird behind Danny, and it was just an awesome cover. So it gets tons of points in that regard. The art is great. I will give it that. It is very pretty to look at. But the story, it just, I don't know. It feels unnecessary. Maybe I need to see, again, how it fits into the grand scheme of AVX, but come on. You're doing a whole big AVX. We don't need all these side stories and everything like that. Just get to it. This is kind of background stuff that we could have been doing a long time ago. Not now. Don't interrupt a book to give a whole issue's worth of backstory to lead up into why something's happening now. It's just fucking retarded, and it takes people out of the moment. It happened with FF, that's why I dropped it. Don't let it happen with this. This book, because of the art and the cover, will get a 2 out of 5.
You know what sucks is you mentioned the art, is that Diodato, this is the best Diodato I've ever seen.
It's very pretty.
The
it's
dude
beautiful.
Was on but, steroids for this issue.
This last page of the Phoenix Force and stuff, it's all very pretty.
Not even that, just like the simple stuff, like with UT walking through Kunlun, and
yeah.
That was just gorgeous, you know? And it's such a shame that finally this guy, you know, seems to somehow get it, and Bendis throws this issue in there, you know? It's like, come on. All right, well, let's go on to Taser with Uncanny X-Men number 11. Take it away, Taser.
Okay. So basically this has three of the fights. You got freaking, well, not two. I mean, you got Hope in her hole. Oh, but I just want to go meet my destiny. Blah, 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 blah. You get a recap of Psych blasting Cap, and oh, look, Avengers Helicarrier just happened to be there. Who the hell are you to bring that to my door? You get Colossus and Red Hulk underwater, which is like, they're having it's a comic, go with it, but still, they're having a fist fight underwater. Wow, okay. you know, and it becomes a knockdown, drag out fight, you know, and I will admit, having a Peter morph into whatever the hell that was. I haven't seen
Crab
a whole lot of Peter. You know, yeah, exactly. I haven't seen a whole lot of him as the avatar for Cytorak since he's become it. But that would have been one of those oh holy fuck moments if it had been me. And I gotta be honest, I'm not a big fan of General Ross. You know, I've always wanted to see the man get a beatdown no matter what. So he so receives one here. So, and it's, we're talking missing tooth and black eye, durr, moments. Awesome! But, you know, they cut it with that, and they cut it with freaking Hope, and they, you know, it goes back and forth. I have to say, and also you get a bit of an internal dialogue about how Namor refers to himself and why he's siding with the mutants, which I just kind of look at, you know, with one eye raised, like, really? You consider yourself a mutant and you side with them because they're the underdog, and this is supposed to be something he's always done. Yeah, hello. Be S. That's all I got to say with that. But, you know,
he's probably just rehearsing that to tell Emma later and probably get her pants.
Yeah, well, from what I heard, they apparently have already done it in the past.
Yeah, they did. Okay, but he's been trying to get back at that.
Well, hey, he's looking for a taste because, you know, his ex-wife is running around in Canada batshit crazy, too, so who knows.
Fun stuff.
But no, freaking Juggerlossus? Is that what we
still call Colossus?
Colossus not.
Colossus not.
That works.
In full Avatar form, beats the holy fuck out of Red Hulk. There's just no other way to say that. But in a move that I blinked, and I actually had to go back and then come back to see whether I missed something. Okay, yeah, I get that. Hold on. I get that Colossus, he went away, you know, and you know, he was, something else was controlling him. He was on auto fight, and he was kicking ass. But, oh, no, I damaged the pylon. Okay, yeah, that's a bad thing. But rather than do the intelligent thing and simply toss Red Hulk away, go after him, and continue the beating, he goes, no, we must stop the fight. And he takes the helmet off. And he goes, beat on me, please. You know, wow? What? Is, like other people have said, and I didn't really want to, you know, accept it, but it really does seem to be true. At least these early books, the mutants, all the mutants are losing. You know, because Iron Man went through bullshit, and so did Red Hulk. Red Hulk... You know, anyway, Red Hulk gets to knock him out with a double-handed fist, and you're just kind of going, is that it? You know, Hope runs off because she's like, I'm just a girl. I have to go get the fiery bird. And Cyclops enacts Avengers Protocol, which gives us a press release, letter to humanity. Where he, you know, basically goes, the United States government came to my house and
government came and took my baby.
Exactly. And he totally makes this about her being a mutant, you know, which...
Hey, he knows how to play politics and something else.
Yeah, but, you know, he's wrong here. This has nothing to do with Hope being a mutant and everything to do with the fucking Phoenix coming to the planet and coming for her, and knowing in the past how unpredictable that's, you know, that kind of possession is. She could have been human if the Phoenix Force was coming for her, they'd still be here to come get her. So
they would be coming for her if she was human, though.
They would be. They totally would be.
Because I'm not saying they wouldn't come for her if the Phoenix Force was. It's the Phoenix wouldn't come to her if she wasn't a mutant.
Okay, I won't argue that. I wouldn't argue that, but
she would at least have to be a metahuman to get its attention. Just throwing that out.
That's fair. You know, that's fair. She could be jackpot. Ooh.
Oh,
anyway.
God.
But I mean, if you look at this letter, you know, Cyclops is totally making it about those evil, filthy mutants. They stink and they suck. Well, we're not gonna take it. No.
I'll write a strongly worded letter.
And, yeah, exactly. You know, and he says,
take this, please.
Okay, you pushed our hand. Now we push back. Oh, whatever the fuck. And, you know, seriously, big freaking middle finger to Cyclops. You know, I can understand why he got upset. I don't excuse him blasting Cap, but I understand why he was upset at Cap showing up the way he did. But with this right here, I can't side with the man. You know, he basically told the world, okay, you asking for it, you know? Fuck him. The book itself... It's aside from all the mutants needing to lose because the mutants need to lose, and, you know, Hope being just a girl and running off, and getting to see Wolverine immolated again, that's always fun because watching him get burned warms the cockles of my heart. But all told, the book wasn't bad. It wasn't stellar or spectacular. It wasn't awful by any means. it was like, it's a midway, you know? It moves the story along. So, to be fair, I'd have to give this, I'd say a 3.3 out of 5. You know, it's a solid book. Not a great one, not a horrible one. You don't really need it, especially not for the Colossus fight, though. That was just, I don't know.
General Ross get his handed to him, though?
Okay, yes. Read it in the shops. Just to see him with the blood, with the freaking big puffy eye and the missing tooth bit. Feeding yellow blood and water. That was freaking hilarious. But yeah, Kieran Gillian, or whatever the hell. Is that a man or a woman anyway?
It's a man.
Okay. So the guy with the chick's name, he does a decent job moving the story along.
Oh, I love your New York attitude, man. Jonathan, from one AVX tie-in to another, AVX versus, a.k.a. the biggest tie-in that Marvel's going to have.
The biggest tie-in
and the biggest waste of money. Take it away, Jonathan.
I got to say, biggest as in biggest piece of shit? Yeah.
You know what you were getting. You have no excuse. You knew what you were going to buy. I know.
No, I got to admit, they dropped the ball here.
Iron Man
and Magneto really, really dropped the fucking
ball.
All right,
let's have Jonathan tell us about the three. There was how many fights in this? Three fights?
There was two. It was the first one was obviously Iron Man versus Magneto, a.k.a. the let's just go overly ridiculous on power bullshit, and then yet another Thing versus Namor, and let's make sure that Thing is stupid to keep Namor underwater to, you know, fight, because, yeah, he's not strong when he's underwater or anything.
God bless that Yancey Street education.
The only thing I can really say about this title was the art was not bad. I'm always a fan of Kubert, and I like Stuart Immonen's art. That's about the only thing I can say that was positive about this. Iron Man using the power of another fucking planet gravitational pull to beat the hell out of Magneto, while it was kind of, you know, nifty in a, you know, really stupid comic book way, I was like, really? Are we going to the distinguished competition now and how we're doing shit? And then having Magneto go, oh, well, I can do the same thing. And then he gets like a really bad case of indigestion when he senses that the Phoenix Force devoured a planet. So he gives Iron Man the greatest piece of advice, contact my daughter, she'll know what to do. And I'm like, really? The same said daughter that went batshit nuts, tore through the Avengers, totally rewrote reality, caused all the mutants to get depowered and all that, and you want Tony to go to her to help out? And I'm like, yeah, I see good positive things with that. Instead of it being Hope getting the Phoenix Force, I have this really bad feeling that Scarlet Witch is going to wind up with it. And if that happens, I'm going to be like, Marvel? You know, that's almost... Ugh.
Why wouldn't it be better and more original to give it to Scarlet Witch versus another Summers person?
Yeah, right. I mean, considering we know that Jean Grey is going to be coming back, we know that in one form or another.
It's comics, everybody. Gilly,
yeah, I mean, it's
talking to Emma for once. See what the fuck she does with it.
Yeah,
Jesus. Burn everything.
I mean, for fuck's sake,
how about making a male?
Yeah,
they did a. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, Jonathan, but they did a what if issue where Vulcan got the Phoenix Force. Never happened, but you know, it's not gender specific.
Even the Phoenix Force won't go into that whiny little bitch.
Yeah, I mean,
he's dead anyway.
I have this really bad feeling we're going to wind seeing either Scarlet Witch possessed by the Phoenix Force or Hope, and they're going to fight Dr. Doom, who apparently has the Infinity Gauntlet, and it's going to totally reboot everything, because they're, you know, obviously Marvel is really jealous of what is going elsewhere, and they're going to do some sort of fucked up bullshit to reboot everything.
So what was the final rating of the issue?
Just like Moon Knight, I will only give points for the art, and I'll give it a solid 2 point for the art. The writing, I want to slap both people who wrote it. And I mean slap them with, hell, slap myself with a forget-me-stick.
Dick slap!
Yeah, I mean slap myself so I can forget that I went and got this damn thing. I mean, yeah, I knew what I was coming in for. I knew I was going to come. I knew it was going to be, you know, ridiculous. But it. Oh God. I mean, I was like, Marvel, you're topping yourself on this. Whatever good positive stuff you're doing in the main series, you're effing it up elsewhere. And it just, oh, I think this is the worst one. I mean, to say that I would have rather gone back and reread the Venom crossover they did with Red Hulk and them. I rated that higher than this. And that says something. That issue of Avengers that I reviewed a few months back on the podcast was better than this. Oof. Yeah, and you heard me tear through that. Mm. So, yeah, I almost want to write Marvel go, yo, money back, please. But I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of people who voted for Jason Todd to be dead, dude. That line is still backing up.
Yeah, well, hell, I just want to see, it's like, you know how there are people are asking you, like, on the Civil War, who are you standing with, X-Men or Avengers? It's like I told people, I'm with the Avengers, simply because it's about time that you finally get a realistic, say, what is heading towards the planet? You know, although I'm also like with the X-Men, oh, you finally get your heads out of your ass to notice what's going on? You know, that kind of thing. But I'll stick with the main series, because it's been very good. And I'm going to skip the rest of the tie-ins. This is going to be my one and only versus issue. And I will probably dump. Yeah, I think it's going to be donated to my kids so they can use it as, whatever. Yeah. I don't know if I'd let them use it for toilet paper because that's still too good for that. But, I'm sorry not to be positive, but, I mean, I was hoping to do the Daredevil choice, but in which I agree with, it was a 4.5.
And this show was rating. A major downer today.
So, I mean, it was a good one. But anyway, you know, that's my review. 2.0 out of 5. They're lucky they got even that simply for the art. And yeah, I was just like, my brain cells were dying almost at the same pace as when I read Flashpoint on this issue. And the only good thing about this is I'm smart enough to stop after the first issue, whereas I was on crack, apparently, when I read Flashpoint. So,
yeah, because we're a DC podcast.
Yeah, I know that, too.
Okay, so who's next?
You know what? Before we move real quick, I'm going to check out at least the second issue, because these are just 6 one-shots, really, because they're not going to tie into each other. They just tie into the main series. Next issue has.
They just expand on the fights that are in the actual.
Next
series.
Issue has Steve McNiven drawing Captain America versus Gambit. I'm gonna flip through the store to look at that. I'm not gonna buy it, but I'm gonna look at it like ooh.
I'll have to go to the newsstand for that because if I did that at the LCBS, he would be like, no money. You can't do that.
This is a jerk. Last but not least, Brian, the introduction of 2 Marvel Movie Universe characters with Battlescar number 6.
Oh God. Okay. So now I think I'm beginning to. What did you say?
What's Battlescars about again?
It's about, initially it was about supposedly this guy who suddenly blew up and became the world's most wanted man. But now I'm starting to believe that was never the true intention with this book whatsoever. I'm starting to see it was much more the reason of just people, hey, guys, okay, we need Sam Jackson in the 616 world. And let's take the agent guy everyone likes from all the Marvel movies, and we'll put him in there, too.
To be fair about Coulson, we've been clamoring for his debut in comics.
Okay, yeah, his was somewhat warranted, but let me just get this out of the way right now. I'm beginning to think that the whole purpose of the show was just put Sam Jackson's Nick Fury and Phil Coulson in the 616 universe. That's
woohoo!
Because as great as Coulson is, it's not the same character. This guy's an Army Ranger who went by the name Cheese. You never even knew his real name until they mentioned it. He has a full head of hair. He's a smart-ass know-it-all Army Ranger. He's not the Phil Coulson we know from the Marvel films. And this isn't fucking Sam Jackson. This is a kid with a goatee who shaved his head and lost an eye. And apparently the artist just dropped all pretense and aged him like 20 years between pages because he literally looks like Sam Jackson would. Like, not even like the younger 20-something version that he actually is supposed to be in the book. Anyway, this caps off the Battlescars miniseries. Basically what happens is everyone kicks a lot of ass. Kid Marcus loses an eye, and this is the best part. He comes out and they introduce him as S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Nick Fury. Now keep in mind, he has been Marcus for a good chunk of this issue and the five before it. And when they ask why, she named him Nick Fury Jr., but it was buried in the birth records and they managed to drag it up when they found out about her death. So you're telling me a man who was enlisted in the United States Army and has fought so many times, apparently no one knew his name was Nick Fury? No one was able to piece that together?
That's the government.
I digress. Kicks a lot of ass. He recovers. They offer him a place in S.H.I.E.L.D. He shaves his head, grows a beard, gets an eye patch, goes by Nick Fury, and his Army Ranger buddy with the full head of blonde hair and the wisecracks becomes Agent Phil Coulson, otherwise known as Cheese. And they are reporting under Daisy, a.k.a. Quake, who now apparently runs S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, yeah, that's the end of Secret Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. No repercussions from Orion. No repercussions from Taskmaster or the cells who were previously hunting him. Just Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, and Phil Coulson in a 616 world kicking ass. Which, admittedly, isn't too bad. I actually would like to see that. But, it was a really weak issue. Didn't really tie into much of what happened throughout the rest of the series. And the payoff was supposed to be huge at the end. Really? Like, not in a bad way, but it was unnecessary. You want to shoehorn Nick Fury into the 616 world, at least have some class about it, you know? At least do like a dimensional crossover like doing the fucking Spider-Men coming up. Fuck that shit. This book, I don't like it. I give it a 2 out of 5. It was terrible. It shouldn't have been printed. I feel dirty.
I do not control Marvel scheduling. Good Lord knows I would have wished for a better week. yeah, there you go. Those are the individual reviews. Taser, porn time. What do you got for us, buddy?
Is it porn time?
It's porn.
Is it time for the porn? Woo! It's time for porn. Anyway. Okay, for those of you out there who didn't know, and it's not like I actually talked a lot about it, but I swear to you this is true. Coming out this week, Avengers, the X-rated porn parody. Yay! And guess who? It's supposed to have a bunch of people who, well, I'm sure most of you don't know who they are. But hold on. Let me read the release. Directed by Axel Braun from a script he wrote with Mark Logan.
Logan?
Wow. The Avengers XXX finds S.H.I.E.L.D. head Nick Fury, played by Lexington Steele. Yeah, of course, it's got to be a black guy.
Of course.
And a very, well, Arnold will like him because he's a very well-endowed black man. enlisting the help of superheroes such as Iron Man, played by Dale DeBone. DeBone? Original. Spider-Man, played by Xander Corvus. I have no idea who the hell that is. And the Black Widow, played by Brooklyn Lee. Brooklyn Lee! And, she's going to bring down a rampaging Hulk, played by Jordan Lane. Don't know who that is, but he's probably a guy. In Las Vegas. However, the big budget spoof, and, you know, big budget for porn means they probably spent more than $2,000. The big budget spoof also stars Jenna Presley as Spider-Woman.
Wait, Jessica Drew Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I have to watch this now.
More than likely, yeah. I bet that. I don't think they'd do the other one. Phoenix Mary as Sharon Carter. Woo, yeah. Lexi Swallow as Miss Marvel. That's kind of appropriate.
That she does.
And Danny Cole as Scarlet Witch. And dig this man's name, Eric Masterson. So I guess we found out what happened to him, you know, after he left Thor.
Oh my God.
Oh, wait a minute. Brandon Miller as Thor. And hold on.
You couldn't get Eric Masterson to play Thor?
Nope.
That would have been too funny.
That would have been way too funny. But I digress. We have one more name. One more. And this person's a star. She's a star in both the squared circle and in the porno circle, or bed, or rectangular, triangle. Depends on which position she's in at the time. Yes, I am talking about former WWF star Chyna as, what else? She-Hulk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Did you not true believers? Wow. Okay, now, needless to say, I have to see this movie. Needless to say, I've been looking for this movie while we were doing this podcast, as a matter of fact, because you know, I can multitask as it is. And needless to say, there's a bunch of fakes out there, and you people need to stop giving me fakes. Giving me fakes! But I will be stealing this movie because I refuse to pay for it. And when it comes out, when it's released, when this movie debuts, exactly, I will be sure to give it a thorough going over. And I can honestly say that I know three names here. I don't know the rest of them because most of the stuff I looked at involves midgets and giraffes. So, you know, the normal stuff is foreign to me. But I will admit I did have a thing for Chyna back when she was roided out because, you know, she was massive and meaty and she had things to grab on. And I wanted to, you know, just kind of wrestle and, you know, prove who was the man. Although I might have lost a few to her just so I could see what was going on here. Anyway, when I've gotten this and when I've reviewed it for my own personal taste, I will be sure to let you people out there who are legally able to view said things, even though I know most of you can't, and it doesn't matter anyway because I'm not telling you to go look at it. Ha-ha! There we go. There's my safety net. I will let you know what I thought about it because, yeah, I want to see Chyna get some as She-Hulk, which means she's wearing green paint. Green paint, Chyna, I need to see some of that action.
Chyna.
That's
funny. I have something to add to the segment.
Go ahead.
So there's actually a Batman XXX porno.
Yeah.
That is based off of the old Adam West Batman. And only got so far as to watch it to, like, the first scene. And basically, Bruce Wayne's girlfriend gets kidnapped by the Riddler. And she's locked in a cell. And the way things get started is that she wanted better accommodations. Absolutely ridiculous. I recommend it. Because the Riddler is spot on. He even has a likeness to him that the original Riddler had, which is just makes it completely over the top.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed it because I think it was either Catwoman or Batgirl that
Barbara Gordon Batgirl
was getting her tailpipe inspected. You know, it was some chick in a mask who needed the third input. And I'm always there for a good inspection because I'm Taser. That's what I do. All
right. Well, that was fun. I didn't expect to hear the Chyna reference, but that was still funny. Good job, Taser. You delivered.
Great.
All right.
Woohoo! I deliver to men.
Oh, I always make you gay. I can never not do that. Seriously. Just go on the DLC.
Yeah, look at
Taser. Look at Taser's new SIG.
Everything you said. That's exactly you said. You called Ryan Gosling hot.
He's a good looking guy.
Dude, how do you put that down in front of you in text and then hit save? How do you do that?
While it doesn't beat, it is just as good.
Doesn't beat?
It doesn't, you know, it's not better. but it is equally as good as Brian's. Who did you take for 1,000?
Oh, God, that again.
That was brilliant. How was that work?
Oh, gosh. All right, well, let's move on to our final couple of segments before 100 is officially done. It's our fan segment. Obviously, some of you didn't necessarily do it, but we got a couple. Jonathan, we're going to go to you last. But first and foremost, I think he secretly hates us yet listens to us. Mr. Brandon West has a couple of questions. Obviously, we're not too high on Bendis, so if we give you some answers you don't want to hear, fuck it. All right, first question from Brandon is, what does Bendis do post-AVX? Obviously, the rumor is he's going to be taking over the X-Men books. I think he's going to take over Uncanny X-Men. I don't think they're happy with what Kieran Gillen is doing with the book, and they're going to hand it over to Bendis because they need him to be on some kind of big title in Uncanny X-Men. Next to Wolverine X-Men, because I don't think they're going to ruin that. They're going to put him on Uncanny. Taser, where do you want Bendis to go?
To hell?
I figured you'd say that.
I'll be perfectly honest. Bendis does Spider-Man great in non-Spider-Man books. You know? But I don't think... Has Bendis ever done a Spider-Man title?
No, he's only done Ultimate. He's never done the regular 616 Spider-Man.
Okay. Bendis, when he does like Spider-Man in New Avengers, Spider-Man is freaking hilarious. You know, he's got, what was it, not this past issue, but I think what was it, the issue before it, when Spidey goes to Logan, so you mean to tell me that you're the headmaster of a school of young mutants, and people let you do this? For real? And Logan's just like looking, he's like, don't make me stab you. I found that was freaking hilarious, and there've been a lot of that with him. New Avengers, but I'll be honest, I'm not on the Bendis bandwagon. Yeah, the man tells some good stories, but so what? You know, he doesn't affect me like other writers have in the past, and unfortunately, not too many writers recently have done so. Most notably, Abnett and Lanning on New Mutants. I'm really disappointed with them there. But to be fair. I can't say I haven't enjoyed New Avengers. Excuse me. I really have. It's been a decent book, and a Deodato art. I've always liked Deodato. Back when he did Wonder Woman, I loved him on that. I was gonna say he did Wonder Woman good. he does great art. I'll say that. His run on New Avengers has been solid too. Where he goes from that, hell, I'd say send him New Mutants. Get Abnett and Lanning on off of it. You know, let's see what he can do there. Let's see what he can do with characters who don't get a whole lot of press. You know, because to me, as far as I'm concerned,
we tried that. Really... We got Moon Knight. Look what happened.
I consider Moon Knight a pet project that, you know, was half-assedly done. You know, I'm willing to give the man.
The benefit of the doubt.
An extra bit of slack. Yeah, because of New Avengers. I'll give him that. But, yeah, I don't care if he goes on to something big or not. I just hope it's not as bad as Moon Knight, really. I just, my God, man.
All right. Arnold, where do you think Bendis lines up post-AVX?
I wouldn't mind seeing him on a mutant title. It might be a draw to pick up one of the other ones that I'm not knowing currently, considering what's been going on with Uncanny X-Men books so far, that book right now could use kind of a kick in the ass that Bendis is known to give books. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I definitely don't think he should go anywhere near Wolverine and the X-Men, because I think that creative team is working out just fine. Let it keep running the way that it's running. It's been going great. Don't fix that unbroken item. I do like to still see him on New Avengers because I like what he does with New Avengers, making Spider-Man overly jokey aside. You know that it's got its place in it as well. I could definitely use a break from him on Avengers. I don't know why there's such a variation between his Avengers and New Avengers for me, I guess. But I definitely, what he's doing in New Avengers more so, plus that I could definitely use a break from Bendis on Avengers, but maybe an X-book or a mutant title of some sort. Other than that, I'm not really sure. I don't think, at least for as my wallet's concerned, I don't think there's any other title that I'm not picking up where having Bendis on it would be a huge draw to X-Men pile right now. But you never know. It depends on where things want to go and what stories that they want to tell. And we'll see, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right, Jonathan, what about you? Where do you think Bendis is going to line up post-AVX?
Oh, I'm hoping that maybe he takes over the Spider-Man titles, because he does Spider-Man really good on in all the other titles that he does. And, and I really would like to see him get off the Avengers titles. I mean, I love his work on it, but it is time for, creative change. And, I hope he does X-Men, or maybe a run, a stab at the Fantastic Four, when Hickman's done. But who knows? I'd almost even like to see him try to go over. Well, no, because then they have too many egos over there. But I'll just say I would like to see him on X-Men or Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And go from there.
And Brian, what about you? Where do you think Bendis goes post-AVX?
Don't like I care anyway. He kind of lost me with this. So
come on, his new Avengers. I mean, what do you think? Not well, where you want him to go. Where do you think he's going to end up?
Where do I think he's going to end up? He'll probably end up doing the same shtick he always does. Avengers and Spider-Man. That's what he does. That's what earns him his paycheck. He'll probably stick to some indie work on the side too.
Avengers by the end of the year.
Whatever. I'm pretty sure there was a second Scarlet in line at some point. Maybe he'll do more powers. I don't know.
There's FBI coming this summer.
He has some indie work lined up.
Man,
as well
really
as some
burned you with Moon Knight, didn't he?
I put my faith in him, and he took it and he threw it on the ground in
like
a Mexican hat.
Oh wait, you are a Red Sox fan, except it's not Gratoli.
Yeah, how's Houston doing, asshole?
Hey, I know we suck. We don't
suck, though. That's the thing. We were good, and then we just...
Gay.
Oh, God. But personally, come on. How many of you can really sit there and say you wouldn't be eating chicken and drinking beer in the clubhouse, too, if you had that privilege? Can any of you say that? Really? Can any of you say that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can.
Anyways, all right, so let's move on to Brandon's, Wes's next question. Where should Bendis wind up? And I guess he basically means where would we like him to end up. Personally, for me, I kind of want to see him on either one of two books, Fantastic Four or Iron Man. I don't know why, but Fraction is ending up his run. Final arc for Fraction's run starts this Wednesday. And he
thank freaking
and
God.
It's ending, and I've loved it, despite, Taser and I are polar opposites, in case you haven't noticed today. But I don't know. I think he has a handle for all the good characters. I really just want to see what he would do with just Tony by himself. I want to see that. And with the Fantastic Four, I don't care, but that's the book I would actually read him if he was on. So for me, it would be the Invincible Iron Man or Fantastic Four. And let Jonathan Hickman keep FF and let him tell the story with the kids. So therefore, everybody be happy. So, Brian, let's go back to you, Mr. Depressed Man. Where do you want Bendis to wind up post-AVX?
Well, I'll give him this. Outside of the Moon Knight occurrence, which it will henceforth be called, he does have some decent storytelling skills. He manages a good solo read. If I had to pick something, I don't really know. I'm not really... Because the thing is, I don't differentiate that much between writers and shit, and so for me to just pick out his... I can't really determine his style, per se, because, like I said, I haven't been paying attention, but... I don't know. It's kind of difficult. I mean, for so long he's been Spider-Man and Avengers guy. Where am I supposed to stick him?
Before that, I mean, he made his name, because of Ultimate Spider-Man. But people love his Daredevil run.
Maybe have him do another run at Marvel Knights. I don't know. Maybe
Ghost Rider.
Jason Aaron couldn't make that one work, and he was much more attuned to what Ghost Rider is.
We don't talk about ourselves, just creatively, as if we would read it or not.
Creatively, sure, why not? Maybe stick him in the Marvel Knights run for a little while, see what he drums up there. Give him some darker stuff to work with, more street level. And maybe he'll come out of it on top again. But, you know, after this Moon Knight run, I am completely just... I'm done with Bendis. I'm done.
Taser, what about you? Where do you think... Where do you want Bendis to be post-AVX?
I actually already answered this New one. Mutants? But... But let me add... I think he does do street levelers, or at least lower level heroes. I don't know how his work would go, how his writing would go with like Thor or Hulk or something like that. But I could see, I'd like to see him on Punisher. There you go. Not that I read Punisher, but let's see what he can do with Punisher. He might be able to raise his profile some. You know. I would see the normal way of doing comics is you get hot writer and you put him on big profile book, but you know your other books suffer that way. I would like to see you take a hot writer and you put him on a book that could use a boost, you know. So I see no reason why he would need to be put on something that's high profile because it's already high profile. Put
him give on him Marcus and Cheese. Maybe he'll do something good with them.
God, okay. You really hurt him. I'm scared for you.
Fuck Bendis. No, I'm just done with him.
I would like
feel
to
feel the hate.
I think the one of the marks of a person's ability to write is how well they make their characters, you know, come alive and, you know, become accepted. So I think the true test is if you put them on a book where there's not a lot of press and that book comes up. So yeah, I would put them on, you know, Punisher or something like that, or, you know, I don't know, maybe Daredevil or Captain America? Has he done Captain?
No, he hasn't done any of the Avengers books, like, in their solo characters. He's only done Avengers, so.
Okay, so then, yeah, put him on Cap, you know, something
Rubaker's
like that.
Rubaker's been on that for 7 years, so, yeah, maybe it's time for him to go. All right, Arnold, what about you? Where do you want Bendis to go post-AVX?
X-23. Oh yeah. I wouldn't
That'd
mind.
Be cool.
It could be cool if that book was still around. I think it could be a fun time, but that might just be me hankering for an X-23 book. If I had to see him anywhere, I wouldn't mind seeing what he does with 616 Spider-Man, as long as it wasn't just stories he wanted to maybe tell with Ultimate Spider-Man but couldn't or didn't. For whatever reason, I just don't want a rehash of that. And if he had to be on an Avengers book, I would say let him give his hand at Secret Avengers. Because for me, anyway, that book kind of hit the ground running and then became just, I don't know, just something that I couldn't read anymore. I don't know if it was just those one-shots that ruined the momentum of it or whatever the case may be, but I feel like it just dropped drastically. Or maybe even put him on Venom, now that I think
about it. Rick Remender's doing amazing work on Venom.
No, I'm saying, at some point down the road, we don't know what the future holds in terms of story or whatever.
No,
but
Remender writes Venom forever.
It is out of there, you know. Let's see what he does with some of those other characters.
Forever.
Or newer.
If I might interject for 1 second, to go with the whole put Bendis on an Avengers book, Hawkeye has a book coming out, right?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the writer for
that?
Okay, I would switch him for Bendis.
Yeah, I said that.
Because
I said that last time. I wondered why.
Oh, okay. That works.
I didn't say. Switch him. I said I wonder why Bendis wasn't approached. Because, like I said, his that New Avengers storyline, like Secret Invasion onward, or a little bit before, was basically about him loving Clint Barton. You know, so.
Okay. No, but you know, if they're playing Clint Barton back as the pseudo wisecracking guy, you know, whatever, and he can do a great Spider-Man and, you know, old school Hawkeye aren't that far apart in regards to, like, you know, good lines. So I think he might be able to pull that off. I would put him on Hawkeye. You know, there you go. How long is Fraction's run supposed
to
be?
Probably it's ongoing,
hopefully not 12 issues, maybe a lot less.
How long was Iron Fist when he was with Aja?
16.
Okay, then I would shortchange Hickman's run on that and put Bendis on right afterward. Same thing.
All right, you know, Jonathan, what about you?
I kind of said it. I would like to see him on X-Men or possibly Fantastic Four, but I like the suggestion for Punisher, too. And I think that would be kind of cool. And you just anything other than Avengers, I think it, you know, like Brubaker, it's time for a change. And I think that, you know, anything but Avengers or, you know, or anything like that, you know, just get him off Avengers.
Actually, I'm going to change mine. I'm going to, not Fantastic Four, but Incredible Hulk. I want to see Bendis just,
yeah, that would be
I just
good.
Want to see Bendis just be stupid and not write, like, over, just sure. Like, just go nuts.
See, didn't we just see that in the AVX versus thing?
Ooh. He didn't write any of that.
Oh, okay,
didn't
well,
write anything in verses. He so
okay.
You can pin a lot of things on Bendis. You can't pin that one on him. All right. Well, let's move on to Wes's next question. The next question's already answered. Well, will the X-Men theme return? If you listen at the beginning of the show, it's back, baby, for one night only. I figured I should answer this. If you are a long-time listener, in case you haven't been listening long, for the longest time, our theme song was the 1990s X-Men the Animated Series intro, because I think me, Arnold, and co-founding member Seamus, who's not with us anymore, he's alive, but he's not with the group anymore.
He's somewhere in the Jersey Shore. That was last we heard of him.
Like, we needed a theme song, because at the time, podcasting, we were just starting. I was like, we need one theme song. And we'd use that, and along the line, I got bored, so I used, if you notice, a little around September, summer going into the fall of last year, I changed it to a remix versions of them, and even then I got bored. So I just decided, fuck it, other podcasts are doing it, to just change the music every week, either it has nothing to do with the episode, or it has something to do with the episode. You know, it's just for me to be fun, because I honestly, and I know y'all may like it, but I got bored just putting it in there and cutting it. I wanted something different every week, and so I did it. I mean, nobody's outside of you, Wes, I'm not saying you're complaining, but, you know, nobody said anything, so I figured, okay, I'll just keep doing this. But if y'all want the X-Men thing coming back, well, you're not going to get it, because I'm still going to keep changing the music.
We had an X-Men
so theme? Yeah.
I honestly didn't listen to the show, X-Men
Yeah, we used the X-Men the animated series for the longest time, Taser.
Really? Yeah, it was pretty cool at the time, too.
But so. I've changed it. I've used bands that I've liked and songs that I've heard. And, you know, so. All right, so let's move on.
You should use Gwar for a theme song.
Gwar.
Use a Gwar song.
Oh, for God's sakes,
Taser. Right. Yes,
exactly. Top five. His next question is top five current villains of the Marvel Universe. Since we're... no particular order.
Bendis number one. He deserves to put this death.
Jeff Jones.
Bendis is
Marvel.
Marvel
or comics in general?
He did Avengers.
Doesn't matter.
Not Marvel currently.
Top five Marvel villains. Did he say currently? I don't know if he says currently. No, not current villains. So anything that's been active. Fuck.
No, thank you.
What, top five?
Top five current villains. The Gorgon. Viper. Doc Ock. Fuck. Gotta think of the other books I'm reading. Gorgon, Viper. Who else is alive? Apocalypse is not alive. Thanos is dead, or he's somewhere else. I can't choose Red Skull because he's technically dead.
Edgar Crime?
No. Oh, Jack-O-Lantern.
okay, I can Jack-O-Lantern see that one.
And, I can see that. Final one would be, and these are in no particular order. Final one would be. Damn it! I wanted to pick him, but he's dead. Also, if he was still alive, it'd count. I can't say Sinister because he bored me. Fuck.
Technically, that was Gillian who did that. That wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. Current. If it was all time, I would say Mr. Sinister hands down. Shit. Fuck it. I ain't got no one. The top four. There you go. I'm sorry.
No Ultron?
No, he hasn't done anything though. Well.
What about the Hellfire Club over at Wolverine and the X-Men? Man, they're pretty badass.
Not to me, at least. All right, Ultron. I'm going with Ultron just because Ultron's been this looming threat, and I like looming threats. All right, so there you go.
Ultron.
Jonathan, top five current villains in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, let's see. Joe Quesada. Oh, wait, wrong. I have to say it.
He's not even editor-in-chief anymore.
Oh, thank God. I guess on the current villains, I would say Dr. Doom. Yeah, got to mention him.
I didn't mention him.
Ultron, begrudgingly, but, you know, he is being poised to be a major threat. And, who else? I haven't really been reading that much Marvel outside of Punisher and... can't say the Exchange because they're getting blown to shits. I'll have to say Doctor Doom and Ultron. Maybe Kang if he's still running around, or is he dead?
No, well, technically at the end of the first arc they killed him, but he's a time traveler, so they could always bring him back.
I'll go ahead and go
plus Iron Lad's still floating around out there, so he technically counts.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say Kang. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh, mighty taser.
Okay, Jesus Christ is on the list.
No. How about Mephisto, who was doing the work for Quesada for that whole Spider-Man bullshit back in the day?
It was 4 years ago. And, let go already.
Oh, I let go a long time ago. Okay, he's dating a new mutant, so there you go. He's a...
Yeah.
There we go. That's true. We'll say that.
One more.
Oh, got it. Who's been the major villain lately in Thor? I mean, I know Loki hasn't really done anything.
He's a child. There hasn't been a villain in Thor.
Oh, if a little Mad Fraction then.
yes, he's on the list.
And I will say this, because he's one of my all-time favorites, and if you ever get a writer to do him right, make him the badass he should be, I will say Mandarin.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Take out whoever I said last and replace him with Mandarin, because he's been badass in Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah, Mandarin, when he's done right, is one of the top villains. He should be able to make Doom just look at him and go, damn, you know, and same thing with, you know, in terms of respect. But then again, Doom doesn't do that. But, yeah, those would be my picks. I mean, there hasn't been that many current threats that I've seen lately that I would consider top five. Galactus, when he's not being
a villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he's a force nature. Never mind. I'll just go with who I just spoke.
Arnold, top five current villains in the Marvel Universe. Go.
In no particular order, Norman Osborn, Doc Ock. I guess Doom could definitely fit on that list. What is that, three?
Yeah.
Trying to think of things that I've read. I know you hate him, but I'm going to give it to what's his face for Spider-Man. I mean, not Spider-Man. Spider Island.
The Queen?
Jackal?
Not necessarily.
Oh, the Jackal. The
/ Jackal. That whole little team. And last but certainly not least, the worst villain to ever grace the pages or screens or anything of Marvel, the new Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Because it sucks. Brian, top five of the current villains in the Marvel Universe.
Okay. Well, as always, as I said in no particular order, Dr. Doom has been set up pretty decently, so we'll see how that pans out. I'll throw him in the list because, you know, he's always just kind of there no matter what you're doing. So put him there. Phoenix is looking to fuck shit up so far. I mean, it's not technically here yet, but I don't think it's going anywhere, and it's definitely going to change shit, so I'll throw that one on the list there. Third one, I'm going to throw up to the whole Secret Warriors cadre type deal, whatever they're out doing. It doesn't really have to be specific, but just that whole little group, whatever they're off doing now in their own books, that group really, I enjoy them quite a bit when they're done right. Can I dip into the Ultimate Universe? Can I do that?
Okay, why not? He never said he never specified.
Cool, then I'm going to throw out Reed Richards, because dude is fucked up in the head. Like, literally and figuratively fucked up in the head. He's got some weird shit bouncing around up there, and he is ready to just tear down the entire whole damn universe. So he's definitely, he makes my list. And because I'm not really sure, but I think you could even classify, for me, depending on how you looked at it, either the X-Men or the Avengers, depending on which side you were on, this whole AVX debacle. But I'm going to go with Avengers in this one, because they came in like gangbusters and just like
Nazis.
You're ours now. Pretty much, yeah. And it's funny that Cap's leading the charge, too. So, yeah, I'm Team X-Men in the whole bit, and I actually got to throw the Avengers in it, because they're throwing around their power trying to do what they believe is best, and it really is. But, like somebody pointed out, like Arnold, where the fuck were they the first few times? When did they ever give a damn? And, you know, now they suddenly give a shit, and they just come in. They don't even bother trying to really negotiate, because they pretty much know once, I think it was Namor said, when Cap is there, it's past the point of talking, so... I'll throw it to the Avengers to round out my list of the top five villains.
Taser, do you have a top five?
Yeah.
Round it out.
All right. But I got to morph the list a bit. These are the top five villains that I really just can't stand, you know? Number one, Nefaria.
Cool.
I mean, what the hell did they do to this guy? Like, why?
They gave him Dependus, the assholes.
What happened to my team wrecker?
Brian Michael Bendis happened to him.
Man, they took a go F- to his ball. BMV and F Marvel, you people suck. Okay?
Number Marvel two, editorial is your villain?
Yeah, right. number two is Doom. Between freaking Children's Crusade and Doom War. Children's Crusade. Oh, look, Dr. Doom was behind Wanda going nuts and wiping out mutants. If you take that one seriously. Okay? Doom War. I don't think I need to go into further explanation as to how god-awful Doom War was.
You were loving that series, too. That's the thing.
That was another one that the last book just messed everything up. You know, especially when it comes to... Hold on. Dr. Doom screwed over the planet, got left alone, and had a U.S. Representative, you know, law enforcement there that just kind of went, okay, leave him there. What the fuck? Anyway.
Number three.
Norman Osborn. Why this man is still running free is beyond reasoning. There's no justification for it. They let the man get in front of a camera and say, hey, Avengers, you guys suck. Herp to dirt, I'm going to go do something. Y'all can
respect
stop.
My authority.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck was that? Anyway, Norman Osborn, number three. Number four, Namor, because he's a douchebag. You know? he changes size more often than I change my underwear. Okay, I got to say it like that. All right? And number five, and he just makes the list because of Uncanny X-Men, Cyclops. Cyclops gave the big fat middle finger to the world. So, yeah.
Hey, he's got some brass ones, though, to try and pull that shit off. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
You're right. But he effectively made himself the enemy of the world and said, as soon as I get my hands on Phoenix, you'll know my pain.
Then the world will see.
Exactly. That makes you a villain. You know, he's putting himself at odds against the world. Exactly. So, yeah, he deserves to be on this list. So, Cyclops, big middle finger, and he's number five.
All right. So, let's move on to his next question, which is...
But Brandon's got more... Does this guy have... Why doesn't he just have a show about questions? Why do you do this to us?
These last two are really quick. What current book needs a creative shift at Marvel? Mine's is easy, The Amazing Spider-Man. While I've enjoyed some and very little of it, of Dan Slott's, he needs to get the fuck out. As much as okay and Mega Man-ish Amazing Spider-Man has been and terrible, and he actually made me drop the book despite that I came crawling back.
Like a bitch.
Shut up. Yeah.
So you're a meth addict, okay.
Oh, Amazing Spider-Man is the book that needs a shift, and needs a shift in artistic. Get Humberto Ramos off this damn title. I'm tired.
Can you say that again?
Humberto Ramos.
Okay, are you sure you said that correctly?
Yes.
Yep.
Humberto.
Just because you're Hispanic doesn't mean you said it correctly. Yeah, okay.
Humberto.
Humberto. Anyway, so yeah, Amazing Spider-Man, get Slott and Stefano Caselli can stay. Slut? Get Slott and Ramos off the damn title. I'm tired of this, but I'm still buying it because I'm a whore. Arnold, take it away. Arnold, see? what Marvel book needs a creative change?
Avengers and Iron Man. Iron Man, sure.
Well, that's going to happen. Both are happening, actually.
Both are happening?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I know Avengers for sure, but Iron Man could probably use him. And again, I've only known fractions of Iron Man, so if I'm seeing that, I can only imagine people who have read other stuff that's been non-fraction feel about it. But that one could definitely benefit from a change, because I wanted to like that one. Out of all, like, you know, the big three, I tried my hand with Iron Man, I tried with Thor. I honestly haven't read the Captain America book. Maybe I'll give that a shot. But, yeah, Iron Man could use some fresh breath in there. And Uncanny X-Men.
All right, Taser.
Don't recommend anymore on Uncanny X-Men, damn it.
Taser, what book?
New Mutants, seriously. Abnett and Landing, they are not doing it for me on this book. I'll give you it. They introduced an interesting wrinkle, and I got to say wrinkle, in having Amara date Mephisto and her be taken in by him, and you know that can't end well, but still in all, just the fact that they're continuing on with this, and they're leaving Bobby dangling, because I gotta admit, I like Sunspot, I always have, and yeah, he's a dick, and yeah, he may not deserve her, but I think he deserves a chance, but you know, this last issue was just like, it kind of highlights a whole lot of things that I'm not enjoying with their run on the book, and I'm like an issue or two away from just leaving it alone from now on. So, yeah, I'm sorry, guys. You guys got to go.
All right, Jonathan, what Marvel Universe book needs a creative change?
I'm going to say it straight up, and I think you'd probably agree. Captain America.
Yep.
Definitely needs it.
Avengers Outlasted is welcome. Like, it's bad.
Yeah. I also think that, like I said, you've heard me ran on and ran on. Avengers damn sure needs a creative change. And those are the only two that I would really think of. Thankfully, Fraction's solving the problem for Iron Man. And, yeah, I think he needs to be pulled off of Thor as well.
All right. Last but not least, Brian.
Well, if it was still going on, I'd say Moon Knight after this issue, because Bendis completely destroyed my soul. No real books off the top of my head come to mind. I have a pretty short order when it comes to Marvel as of right now. Can I say Avengers vs. X-Men this early on? Can that get a creative shift? Because I kind of feel like maybe if we put that in a different direction, it might work. You know, expanded on whenever.
Remender, Dan Slott, going on. Abnett and Lanning and all the under guys.
Yeah. Outside of that, I'll throw my hat in the ring with Uncanny X-Men, because that book, as much as I have enjoyed what Gillen's been doing, it could use kind of a fresher take. Because, as evidence, Wolverine the X-Men has been so much fun. It's been a great book. Uncanny X-Men has been more of the stoic side of it, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can be, you know, just as enjoyable. You just have to get the right person on that book. That's really it for me. I'm not really reading a whole lot of crap. But, yeah, that's it.
All right, well,
hold on. Wait. I got to say, the villain list, I forgot to add that fucking kid from Wolverine and the X-Men 1.
The Hellfire Club kid.
Yeah, that
kid. Oh, Cade Kilgore.
Yeah, him.
He's a little twerp, isn't he?
Not only that, but Wolverine had him in his hands in that first issue, and he let him go because, oh no, I think
dude,
I broke
he got Matt Murdock to sue the kid for damages what he did to the school.
Do I care? The kid should have been barked through.
You heard it first.
I would have scored him.
Bodily harm for younger children. But I am too.
That kid deserves it.
I am too.
I mean, it's not like he's
an innocent
you're wrong.
Kid, but... All right, but let's move on to his last question, which is, again, a really quick one. Most anticipated Marvel sequel, Cap 2, Thor 2, Iron Man 3, Hulk 2. For me, I'm not going to say Iron Man 3 because I'm trepidatious about it because of the whole three. The third one isn't necessarily the best out of any kind of movie. Very few exceptions. But I'm going to say Thor 2 because if they do it right, we could get a hint of Taser, John, boom.
Santa.
Boom.
Oh,
so I'm saying Thor 2, baby.
If they, you know what? If they do Surtur and they do him right, I will
be there.
That could
be the next Avengers movie. The Avengers take on Surtur.
Camp out in front. No, I don't want that to be the next Avengers
movie. No, it's just got to be Thor.
Yeah, it really. I'm just saying
the fight with Surtur's armies is like.
Yes, I agree. And you know what they could do? You know what would be totally awesome for Thor 2? I have no idea whatever they got planned for it. But for Thor 2, I would introduce Hercules in that. Because let's face it, Surtur, why not bring in other gods?
That'd be cool. Terrorists.
Yes.
Wait, fuck, no.
No, not him. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Right, so,
I'm kidding.
Thor 2 for me. Taser, what about you? Is it Thor 2 as well?
No. I do look forward to Thor 2. I liked Incredible Hulk, so I'm nominally interested in, you know, them doing a second Hulk. Captain America, I got to hear what they got planned, because Cap in the modern day needs to be more explosions, you know? I don't want to see him...
explosion!
Timeline. You hit people have strange things going on in this color everywhere, and black people? No, I'm stuck.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cap said that, though, considering where he's from.
Hey, you know, you're a good-looking black chick. Excuse me, motherfucker! You know, like. No, but for me, it would have to be Iron Man, because not for nothing, both the Iron Man movies out the box have been, you know, balls open, awesome, and funny, you know? Plus, you get Tony Stark flying. I love characters that fly, and nothing beat Iron Man 1 when he took the suit off for that first time. Not a single comic book movie, except for maybe Superman, beats that moment of him testing the suit. Nothing. Nothing does it.
All right, so Iron Man 3 for you.
Yeah.
All right. Arnold, most anticipated Marvel sequel.
I'd have to say Iron Man 3.
All right. Brian.
Well, it was Iron Man 3,
Thor 2, and Hulk 2.
Okay. Brian. Well, I think I've mentioned on here before, I would love to see the modern day Cap adapted from the Ultimate Captain America run recently done. I think it was by Jason Aaron who did that run where he. Yeah, with
the Cap
of Vietnam nuke. I would love to see that done, or at the very least turn him into like a special agent almost. You know, put him in that situation. Make him a badass Super World cop, or, you know, something like that.
The rumors are going around that it's going to be dealing with S.H.I.E.L.D. So Captain America 2 is going to be a pseudo-sequel to Avengers, because you're going to see more of the S.H.I.E.L.D. world at Captain America 2. Supposedly.
All right, cool. Well, if they want to tie it back in, something I would actually see done would be maybe someone's picking off the old Howling Commando squad, if anyone were still drawing breath. God bless them. Yeah, hells yeah. And, you know, that'd be cool. I would pay to see that movie.
You're going to pay,
done.
Right? Well, you don't have to.
Well, yeah, obviously. It's a toss-up between Cap 2 and... Yeah, well, Taze has got the hookup. It's a toss-up between Cap 2 and... Thor 2, just because I'm a huge mythology nerd, and I love the first Thor, and I'm dying to see how they expand the universe in the second one after Avengers and all that. I'm dying to see how they do it.
All right.
So, Thor 2 and Cap 2 are tied for
Jonathan, what about you?
Actually, while I would like to say Iron Man 3, because those two were my two favorites initially, I'm looking forward to Captain America 2. While I loved the Thor movie, I was really just loving Captain America 1. And if they can keep up the energy off of that one into the sequel, you got me. You got me for that one. So.
But you know we won't be getting Green Lantern 2.
Yeah, no
Thank
shit.
Thank effing God and boo freaking boo.
All right. Jonathan, terrible. You had a couple of quick questions for us. Rapid fire.
Oh, shit. Hang on. Let me get to the... See, I forget because I posted it a long ago. I've been drunk and sober since then. Shit, hang on a second. I just had it on the page and it's going stupid here. Give me one second. I did have one question on who had the bigger hands, but that was
Look,
kind of
okay.
A,
enough. All right, Kuman does not have big hands. It's called perspective. All right, my hands are far away. His hands are close. It's called perspective. Enough of this. I'm tired of this.
Oh my God, yeah.
I need to hear from Kuman every time I go to talk to him in Skype. I don't need to hear this from anybody else. I have big hands.
Oh my God.
Tiny hands.
No fucking way.
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh, he did not just bring it up again.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Brofist.
Dude, you really want bro status for life. Oh, my God.
All right. My first question was...
I just wanted to say that.
My first question was, what was your favorite issue during the run of your podcast?
Favorite single issue?
Yeah.
You guys want to... Invincible
Iron Man number one!
Invincible Iron Man number 500. In the longest time we've done this podcast, for me, it's Invincible Iron Man number 500. I really love that issue. Any of y'all got one? Because I know it's hard to think of something.
I do. Recently, the most recent one I can think of off the top of my head, probably when they rebooted and they got Daredevil number one out, because it was such a refreshing and new take on the character that I'd been previous to. It got me excited for this series again, and I really owe that to the creative minds behind it. So Daredevil number one off a recent read for me would be the most exciting one.
Taser, do you have one?
Oh,
it's a lot of issues.
It is. curse you, Gamera John. I have to pass because I'd have to go back and look at, you know, how many things we've been.
All right, we got a series of things coming up anyway, Gamera. All right, Arnold, what about you? Do any single issues come up that didn't run that you really liked?
Amazing Spidey 600.
That wasn't 600. That wasn't during our run.
During our podcast,
we started in January 2010.
No, whichever one came in that started slots on the one that the whole story.
Oh, 654.
I feel like it was a rounded number.
No, it was like 654 or 640 or 650. It wasn't 600. 600 was summer of 09. I remember this.
Okay. Well, whatever the issue pretty much started, Dan slots run prior. I did like the whole. Round Robin of Writers that got. I did like that book because that was pretty much, you know, setting the tone of where Spider-Man was going to be going on his main run, pretty much. Yeah. What else? And I want to say story arc. It's, again, Spider-Man runs, but the, oh my God, I'm forgetting now. The Shed storyline. With the lizard and all that. That was great.
Oh, can I add the rhino to mine? That rhino arc was the shit.
One Reddit, dude. Oh, I got a rhino arc in there, definitely. Without a doubt.
You mean the old rhino versus new rhino?
Yeah.
Yes, that
okay,
was
that
the
was
shit.
Yeah, that was the good. Yeah, that was good.
That was shit when it came out. Oh,
yeah,
God.
That one actually hurt too.
I got it was say, so that, tragic. That it made you so sad, and it was. Oh,
yeah.
So good,
I
though.
That
and Shed was amazing, too. I got to side with Arnold on that one. Shed was fucking amazing.
All right.
I came a little bit. Sorry about that, everybody.
Okay. Well, for me, I'm not going to – I don't have a best arc, but my God. And this is why I hate slots to run so much. as a whole is because I've said this before, that from January 2008, and this is just me, from January 2008 after the One More Day happened and Brand New Day, after Brand New Day happened, no, was it One More Day? Fuck. One More Day happened and then you had the Brand New Day quote-unquote reboot, but not really a reboot, but it was a reboot. From that time period till November of 2010, I had a blast reading Spider-Man 99% of the time. And that's why I don't like this run, this particular, because I don't enjoy it as much as I want to. It really elevated when we started doing this podcast, because that's when they just started the Gauntlet storyline, where they reintroduce all of Spider-Man's old villains. We didn't get to cover the Electro storyline because we weren't doing the show. But like, we got the awesome Rhino story that you guys mentioned. We got the Electro story, not the Electro story, but Mysterio, Hammerhead. No, Hammer, not Hammerhead, but there was all the classic villains. Sandman, there you go. That's what I was thinking of. And of course, ending all that with the Grim Hunt and the return of Kraven the Hunter. You know, so I'm gonna say that 2010, January 2010,
clones.
January Jane 2010 till November 2010. That's my favorite set of comics that we've covered during this our time as doing a podcast. I love those issues. I want to reread those again. Taser, what about you? Is there any sort of fondness of a story arc or anything?
See, you gotta give me time for these questions. You're not asking War me to Kings, go back more than like
Realm of Kings,
2 weeks.
Not Nova, Guardians of the Galaxy.
See, the problem is Nova, Realm of Kings, and Guardians of the Galaxy are all on the same shelf. So having to pick one of those three, that's actually
or
very
how about
hard.
As a what about those?
Let's choose Marvel Galaxy.
Marvel Galaxy is a collective.
Okay, yeah, I would say Marvel's defunct cosmic stuff. There all you right. go. I greatly miss that.
Arnold, what about you? Oh, no, you already said yours, right, Arnold?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Brian, what about you?
Story arcs that stand out. I don't know. I've enjoyed the darker, more suitable stuff. I mean, it's never worked out well in the end, sadly enough, for the B-list characters. But I do enjoy it for the brief time that it's a glimpse into a different side of Marvel that we get forced down our throats every day. And so, you know, just for all of the cancellations and the letdowns that come with it, I would say, I'll just title it as long the Marvel Knights area, I guess. I mean, like, friggin' stuff, you know, like Daredevil and Moon Knight and, who was the other one I was just thinking of? It doesn't matter. Point is that the B-list characters and C-list characters, they hold a special place for me just because, you know, they're interesting and they're different and they'll never stick around. But whenever they do show up, it entertains me to no end. And so that. Oh, Dr. Voodoo. That was who I was thinking of. See, I almost forgot about him.
You mean the useless black guy who needed to get killed?
Hey, he could have had a decent series if it was done right. God damn it.
All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That wraps up the episode 100.
Finally.
Woo! Episode 100!
This is what you asked for!
Alright. Yes. This, I guess, is the part where it's the self-congratulatory part of the show, but fuck, I was... I don't have a speech prepared or anything. I was just gonna wing it.
Derp, derp.
As usual, I can't talk. First and foremost, I gotta thank you guys. I honestly did not... I honestly did not think that we were going to make it to 100 episodes. And the fact that, honestly, because at the time, all of us, for the most part, were strangers. I didn't know Arnold very well. I didn't know Brian very well. Taser, I thought you and Mr. Ed were the same person.
No. Oh, are you
yes,
serious?
For the longest time, I thought you guys were the same person. I don't know why, but I thought y'all were the same person.
God.
Oh wow.
Honestly, you know, for all the jokes that we give, for the famous Kyle fan joke that we hid for Brian for about 4 months, which is the most epic thing we've ever done. Oh.
Y'all are assholes for that by the way. I'm just throwing
it
out there.
You're the asshole. Fell for it.
come to a show more than twice every year, and we won't do things like that, do you?
Oh!
Honestly, I want to thank y'all, because I honestly thought that, okay, this podcast is probably going to last five episodes at the most. And I really want to thank y'all for the most part, coming back week in and week out, despite that we almost missed a month at one point. But, hey, life happens. That y'all continue to come back. We talk shit about Marvel. You know, sometimes I want to kill one of y'all, namely Taser sometimes.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, Taser says something funny that makes me, that's why I love you, man. So granted that JV's not here anymore for obvious reasons. Sheamus has moved on. Again, he's not dead. And that Lady Bullseye is not here anymore. I still want to thank them, their contributions to this site, and one of them's near death to this site. But yeah, last one, and also I want to thank, I don't know if Mateus is a little, but Mateus, Spider Lantern, and you, Gammer, you guys, for being vocal and saying, we like this show, we like listening to it.
Shingo Wall!
Whoever you are,
Shingo!
Maverick.
Ooh, Canadians suck.
And of course, if you're new, we haven't known you, and of course, our new Twitter followers, the Batman guys who are listening. You don't know how much it's so fun and cool to hear people that we like the show. I even love it when I get bitch comments on Twitter. It's funny to me. I can't believe people are actually listening to this.
They have no.
Probably
laugh,
yeah, but I don't care. It makes me smile. But you know, I can't believe we made it to 100. And fuck.
No, thank you.
Here's to 100 more, hopefully. You know, there's no indication that this is gonna stop immediately. So, yeah, thank you all you guys for doing this 100 times.
They all tragically died after this episode.
Or we get retconned.
Really.
There you go.
Jeff Loeb. Ben becomes politically correct. Ben is the politically correct guy.
Just do me a favor. Don't be like that other podcast that when they decided to reboot themselves, they went completely down the tubes. I won't name them.
One of them is listening, so they're going to know.
Well, I'll tell him. I'll tell him it's nothing personal, but since about 2010, they were the guys that got me onto you guys. Yeah, because I was listening to them first.
You're leftovers, you asshole.
We are not one sloppy second.
I did not say that. But no, seriously. You guys have been funny as hell over the years. You guys have been very informative. I've loved your opinions on stuff. You've actually influenced me on what I've read. Taser, you kept me from getting the final issue of Doom War, which I'm thankful for.
The customer service. Brian, no problem. Yeah,
and Brian, you got me onto the Greg Rucka Punisher. I was like, I'm not gonna try.
Seriously?
Yes, you did. You did. You were like, the Punisher is kick ass.
Shit, I dropped that after 3 issues.
You found some worth after all.
But no, you guys have pretty much stayed. You've kept yourselves not too, you know, self-important, I guess. You know, I it's kind of hard to describe that because I don't know what happened to the other guys because I do like them. And I try to listen to them occasionally, but I just can't get into them. Whereas Warriors 3 has been consistent day in, day out. You guys have kicked ass, and I'm glad to see you guys have made it to 100 episodes, and I do hope you guys keep going to, you know, for 100 more and beyond that.
That was fucking beautiful.
And I appreciate you guys inviting me on. You know, I think it's cool to be part of the group, even if I do, you know, bringing up top, you know, subjects that other people would like to forget about, but this has been a pretty good run, and I hope it stays going.
Cut his mic.
All right. All right, so let's.
Where's the play 'em off music that they play at the Oscars?
Drop his call. Do it now.
I'm stopping. Come on. Okay.
Drop Brian too. Drop him.
So let Taser. Do you have anything to say? Any self-congratulatory comments?
Yeah, I'll say this. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm not going to get all fucking weepy like, you know, Gamera John over there, you big female.
You big softy.
But I have enjoyed this. I'll be here some point in the future. It might even be next week Monday. And, yeah, save me because I have no life. Please love me.
Arnold, sure. Arnold, also co-founding member. Anything self-congratulatory comments, man?
This show has been great. Honestly, I did not, knowing me how I tend to get bored with things pretty easily or pretty swiftly, I did not expect to be on this show for as long as I have been, much less, you know, working on the website and the, you know, the web page for it and the message board and the Facebook and all that kind of stuff and being really involved with it, and even so much as promoting it out at con stuff. It's been some great times. I've met some cool folks. If it wasn't for this, me and Taylor still might not have met each other and or have hung out this long, or as early, maybe not even at all. Come to find out, you know, through the course of the show, we only live 8 blocks away from each other.
Wow.
But good times. You guys are awesome. It's always hysterical, laugh, riot, crazy shenanigans. And yeah, here's to another 100 more to bigger and better things.
And Brian Laspin.
We need, hold up. We need to give out a big shout out thanks to the people that run the GLCMB, because without that, we wouldn't have met and we wouldn't have this.
Give a big shout out to Andrew, because no site, no us, no Warriors 3.
Yep.
Especially since you roomed with the guy and had nice, cozy nights with him.
That's right, a couple of years ago.
Say nothing about
exactly.
that.
Cuddle muffin.
What happens in.
Happens in Seattle, stays in Seattle. All right, and Brian, ironically, you were the first guy that we invited on to be a guest.
I came in late to the game. I was supposed to be a one-off guest star. I don't know what
the
other plan
was,
but
supposed to be the guy who was just like, I'm gonna come do it whenever, every now and then. You ended up being weekly.
I have no life. I thought I already said that.
Yeah, but like I said, I came late to the game, but you guys invited me on. You made me feel
like
at home. Without,
like,
yeah, well, that too. I was getting to that. Yeah, you guys have screwed me mentally and physically, left me emotionally damaged and wrecked across the rocky shore of despair. But at the same time, it's always been a really, really fun time. I enjoy talking to people who love comics and care about it as much as I do, as well as the industry that surrounds it, such as movies and television. I love everything we do here, and despite my sporadic appearances as of late, I am going to try and recommit myself to the show and make the next 100 episodes that much better. Like I said, and I also want to give a big shout-out to John, you right there. If we had 100 fans like you, we'd be off the chain, I swear to God.
We'd have 100 fans.
Yeah. if we had so many fans that were devoted like you, John, we would probably be on a bigger platform. But I like where we're at right now. I like what we're doing. Just the audience be damned. No offense. I really just look forward to coming to this show. I really do enjoy it, even if sometimes I'm not always there. But I do love it. And I've met some of the coolest people here. Taser, Arnold, Iggy, you guys are awesome. The coolest people I've ever met. Which is really sad.
fuck you.
Thanks, Taser. And this is a shout out. If any of you see Seamus, please call your local police department and report him missing. We need him back. We was last seen on the Jersey Shore doing fist bumps and GTLing and whatever. I don't know, but please find him. Bring him home. Lady Bullseye, too, if you happen to see her, give her a heads up. Let her know we're still alive. We moved on. And Kuhan, you're a bastard for screwing me over for months with that fucking Kyle fan bit. I hate you. I hope you die in a fire. that's it for me.
All right. So.
Oh, and West, I could take you or leave you.
Yep.
Oh!
Oh!
You're going to start a war.
Wait a minute, hold on. Before we close out, look at this. I think it's appropriate. All right, take a look at that.
Oh, God. What's this? What's this?
I'm scared.
What's that? Ah! Oh!
It's not an ending until we see a giraffe fucking a donkey.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm saving
ass.
That.
Well, I hit the giraffe point, didn't I? I deliver on my promises.
And with that, and on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking out with us for, one, this long-ass show, and for 100 episodes. And, of course, as always, we'll be back next week for episode number 101 plus our Avengers movie review. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.
Go stick it. Go stick
it. Episode, everybody.
Suck it, you people.
Praise God.
Thank God. Are we done yet? Can I go home?